Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Got the authority to. I said the reason he cannot take it away is because he doesn't have the authority to. Because there is only one who has authority. Jesus said, neither Jesus was who he says he was or he wasn't who he said he was. So let me just give you a couple of what ifs. But Jesus is the one who said, all authority is given to me in heaven, below heaven, or on the earth, and below the earth. All heaven, on the earth, and below the earth. All authority has been given unto me. And either Jesus is who he says he was, or he wasn't, is pretty simple truth. He is the Master. He is the Savior. He is the soon coming King. And the enemy cannot take away. There's actually a great song, I love it, but I have a slight difference with the philosophy of the song. That I want to end going into the enemy's camp to take back what he stole from me. I've got news. He didn't steal it from you. If he's got it, we gave it to him. It's because we surrendered what we should never have surrendered. It was God's to give. It's mine to have. It was not the enemy's to steal, but it is mine to give away. It is mine to surrender the territory that God's already given to me. He hasn't got that much authority. We write songs, wonderful songs. I love the song, by the way. I kind of jumped to the song when I'm singing. I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. No, let me just correct that a little bit. I went back what I gave to him. I want back what I gave to him. I'm taking back what I gave to him. I'm not surrendering it anymore. It's mine to have, and it is mine to go to the enemy's camp and take back what I gave to him. It is mine to go get again. He can't take it away, because you see, I am my Father's son. I am my daddy's son. He is mine. He says, you are mine and I am your God. You are my people and I am your God. I'll take it, right, Pastor Harvey? I'll take it. It's a great gift. I get a king's ransom. Hey, listen, I'm not joking with you when I tell you I have a king's ransom. My king, my God, is never going to leave me nor forsake me. He is that good. He is that gracious. I believe that he's worthy of your very best praise in the house. And so if you'll just give him the very best praise in the house and bring it on down. Bring it on down. Come on. You can do better than that. When you get to heaven, how are you going to worship him? How are you going to worship him? How are you going to worship him? And I see Nate standing because he refuses to sit in the presence of Jehovah. He refuses to sit in the presence of Jehovah Jireh. He refuses to sit in the presence of Jehovah Rapha. He refuses to sit in the presence of Jehovah Lord God Almighty, the great I Am, Yahweh. He refuses to sit in his presence. I'm telling you, we get so lazy in our Christian worship. Oh Lord, let me just, I'll get comfortable here and I'll just worship you, you know. I'll just listen. He is worthy. I'm not saying you have to stand. Obviously, there are many that cannot stand. But when God enters the room, when Jehovah Rapha enters the room, when Yahweh enters the room, I can imagine us just casually sitting there, can't you? No. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Those who couldn't stand are going to leap to their feet. When we stand in His presence on that day, those that you never saw walk are going to be jumping and leaping and praising God. It will mean something. You know, when we read that, those of us that can do this, that doesn't mean that much. But boy, when you can't do that, and you've lived a life that you cannot do that, and all of a sudden, you know what, oh my Lord, I'm going to stand, and I'm going to leap, and I'm going to praise my God. That means something to you. That means something to you. If it doesn't mean something to you, we need to pray today, because we've got a God that is worthy. When He walks in the room, He is worthy of Nate standing. And Nate refuses to sit any longer in the presence of Jehovah, in the presence of a Savior that came 2,000 years ago. I can't help it. I'm sorry. I am so sorry. I cannot help it. It is what the Lord shows me. And you know what's amazing? It's not that Nate is standing. Oh, that's amazing. But that he realizes that God is worth standing for. And He's worth worshiping. Don't let your attention go. Nate is sitting there going, hey, I'm just standing. Don't put the attention on me. The attention should go on Jehovah God. The attention should go on the Lord Jesus Christ, the soon coming King. That's why he's standing, not just because he can. It's because there's a God that's coming back for him. And look, I'm going to tell you something. I'm still believing on this side of that heaven thing, that you're going to leap and you're going to praise God across this stage. I'm still believing for that. God, you are worthy. Father, you are worthy. Father, you are worthy. We will never understand in this mind, in this life. I'll never comprehend your mercy. But I know this. I'm existing in it. I'm living through it. I'm breathing through it. Every breath I take, the Bible says he saved his very breath from man. And every breath I just took is the breath of God. Pastor Harvey agreed. It's the breath of God. He said that. He made everything else breathe in the beginning. He made it breathe. And he saved his very breath for man, the word says. Now, this is the God we're talking about. This is the God we're worshiping. We're talking about this God. Man, I don't know about you, but I got goosebumps up the back of my legs. You can't see them, and that's good.
I see a lot back here.
Yes.
I want to see that.
But God is worthy of all praise. Give him one more hand. Give the Lord your very best. Give him your best. Come on. Don't do it for the pastor. Do it because we have a King. Do it because we have a King. We have a King who is our God. He is our God and he loves you. He is merciful. Now that blows me away. He is merciful. Wow. You know, years ago, Rob, people used to get loud in pulpits because they were preaching people that they were going to hell. And I just can't stop. Well, that's not true because I believe in self-control. I don't want to stop shouting because I believe there's a heaven worth going to and a King that's worthy of praising. I don't want to shout anybody into hell because they're sinners. Listen, we're all sinners. Just what the word says. We're all sinners falling short of God's glory. But thank God for his mercy and his grace. His mercy and his grace. By the way, can I just tell you before I hear it at the end of the service? Because I always hear things at the end of the service. If you physically cannot stand because of your back or something physically that you're going through, those words that I just said were not meant as judgment against you for not being able to stand. Sit in the name of Jesus Christ and make as much noise as you want to. Or not. But we will. Those who get to, who are physically able, no judgment on those who can't. Just enjoy the presence of the living God. Isn't he? Isn't God awesome? Father, you are so gracious. Yeah, don't start clapping and then stop. Go ahead and clap. In the Lord's house, you can just go ahead and clap. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. Now, go ahead and have a seat just for a second. I want to tell you, I got to see what time it is because I got to find out how much time I don't have. Okay. So here's thank you. Give the band a great hand. Wow. Awesome. Playing in the Spirit. I love you guys, man. I love you guys. Listen, this is the day the Lord has, say this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. Okay, you got weaker. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. I actually believe you mean it. Hey, we got something going on here. I'm not kidding. I'm not joking with you. We got something going on here. God's cooking in this place. He is starting to stir the hearts of men and women in this auditorium and in our children's ministry. I'm telling you, my grandson cannot wait to get here. He sees Leah's hand or Cindy. If you don't know Leah or Cindy, Cindy Pape and Leah, Larry and Cindy's daughter, he comes here, and when he goes home, this is what my grandson, 3 years old, said last night. Mommy, I want my Bible and I need Jesus. That's what he's learning back there. Don't anybody tell me that we don't have a dynamic children's ministry going on. He said, I want my Bible and I need Jesus. We have a couple over here that's leading our youth, and they're doing it on an interim basis. Pastor Bill and Lauren O'Brien, and they have a youth meeting. When's your next youth meeting, man? This coming Wednesday, 7 o'clock, right? And you get to put a pie in Pastor Bill's face. This Wednesday, because I said so, that's why. I want to announce something quickly. Pastor Bill and Lauren, as of this day, are also taking under their portfolio, which I am excited to announce today. Stand up, Bill and Lauren, if you would, so everybody knows who we're talking about here. Pastor Bill and Lauren O'Brien. It looks very pastoral, doesn't he? Yeah. So we are adding to their portfolio. The elders are excited to announce, as of today, that the seniors ministry, I will still be there, don't worry. I'll still eat. I can't, are you kidding? You're not going to stop me from eating with you. But yeah, we're still going. But I want you to know that under Bill and Lauren's role, they actually came to me recently. I had gone to them last year and talked with them about it. And they said, they came back recently and said, we would love to start planning some seniors activities for 2017. Would that be okay? I said, yes, 2017 is yours. So would you welcome officially over our seniors ministries, Bill and Lauren O'Brien's pastors. God bless you guys. Thank you. So when you start getting emails from Pastor Bill and Lauren, you'll know what's going on. Why? Because he is wanting to take you guys places you've never, a Star Trek thing, places you've never gone before. And he'll probably take you to Branson still too. Yeah. Because everybody wants to go to Branson. Hey, there's a sweet young lady, an awesome, godly young lady I'm going to invite to the platform right now. The Chajones, I know all of you know it. Many of you went with us to Guatemala. Come on up, Sophia. And this young lady is, I mean, a young lady of God. She is an amazing young woman of faith. Would you welcome Sophia Chajon to the platform? And she is one of our girls. All three of you girls are our girls. We adopted them a long time ago. This is the only family that I have ever, ever, ever sung Look for the Bare Necessities by Baloo. I sang it to them in their van in Guatemala, and it's the only family I will sing that for at this point, because they are the only ones who won't laugh at me when I sing it. And so, yes. And so what I'm going to do, so Sophia has a tremendous testimony that she wants to share with you, and then I'm going to get into the Word. So would you allow her just about 10 minutes to share with you what God has laid on her heart? Go ahead, sweetheart. Welcome, Sophia.
Hello, everybody. It's a privilege to be here with you today. I get to share a little bit with you about what God's been doing in my life. And so the story that I want to share with you begins at the end of May last year, 2016. And it was a few days before we were scheduled to come here in summer to visit, and I started feeling kind of sick, kind of nauseous. And so for 10 days, I was just overwhelmingly nauseous, couldn't eat anything, couldn't even keep Gatorade down, really not doing well. We go to doctors, I get an ultrasound, blood work, x-rays, everything comes back that I'm fine. After those 10 days, I start feeling a little bit better. So we just keep going about the summer, you know, visiting people, having a good time. Summer goes by, we go back to Guatemala, and I'm still just not doing very well. By that point, 2 months have gone by, I've lost maybe 8 to 10 pounds, I'm having frequent bouts of dizziness, I will stand up and black out. If it's really bad, my knees will start shaking, and I feel like I'm about to pass out. nausea, stomach pain, chest pain, just all sorts of things. And so we're like, okay, we got to figure out what's going on. So we go to a GI, do more blood work, more tests, endoscopy, colonoscopy, go to a cardiologist, get an echocardiogram, check out my heart. And everything just keeps coming back that I'm fine, which is good because it's not like we wanted to find that I had, you know, some lifelong disease or anything. But at the same time, we knew I'm not really doing fine. So days keep going by, days turn into weeks, weeks turn into months. It's coming up on 5 months that I've been sick and still just not doing great, don't have any answers. One day I step on the scale because we've been kind of trying to monitor my weight, see where I was at. And I looked on the little screen and I'm like, no way. So I get back off and I get back on the scale again and I'm just like, oh my goodness, I'm now below 100 pounds. So I'm starting to freak out. I tell my parents, I think they kind of freaked out a little bit too. And so my dad buys plane tickets and next thing I know, my mom and I are on a plane and we're coming back here to seek medical attention. So we start going to Mercy Children's Hospital. We see another GI, get more tests, more blood work, see an infectious disease doctor, just all sorts of things, another endoscopy, colonoscopy, and still, everything's coming back, then I'm fine. So the doctor gives me a medicine. This medicine is supposed to help me gain weight, help the nausea go away. And so I try this medicine, but it's not doing very much. We go back to Guatemala because we want to be there for my little sister's birthday, and still just not doing so great. This medicine was keeping me around maybe 103 pounds, but I wasn't gaining any, still had the nausea, still just really sick. 7 months go by, and still no answers, and still sick. And I had the opportunity to go to a conference, and when I went there, these people prayed for me that I would be healed. And the first people that prayed for me, nothing really happened. And I was starting to get a little upset. I was like, God, where are you? What are you doing? It's been 7 months. I don't know how much longer I can take this. I need you to heal me. Like, I can't do this anymore. I really need you to heal me now, you know. But if nothing's happening at first. And so there's little 16-year-old me telling God what to do. And I'm just like, come on, God. And then this man comes up and prays for me. He uses the visual image if I had like a spider web, just like an entanglement of this illness that is inside of me. And he makes like a fist in front of my stomach and he makes a motion as if he's pulling it out of me. And as he does that, I can physically feel as if something's being ripped out of my stomach. And as soon as he does that, the nausea lifts and I feel fine. And I just kind of started.
Woo. Amen. Praise God.
I just kind of started laughing because I just immediately felt lighter because that nausea had been my constant companion for the past 7 months. And then all of a sudden, God took it from me and it was gone. And so I'm sharing this with you and I hope that it encourages you. But I also know that there are probably some of you out there who maybe you're thinking, well, that's great, you know, and it's great that God healed you. But what about me? You know, I'm going through something. I'm dealing with something and I'm still waiting for my answer. And so what I want to share with you is, when God delays an answer, it's not because he's just holding back that answer for no reason. It's not because he's just testing you for no reason. It's kind of like a bank account. When you put money in a bank account, it stores up interest. And when you're waiting, you're storing up interest in heaven with God.
That's right.
And so when that trial Amen. Ends and that time comes, there's just going to be extra benefits that are reaped and that are blessed at the end of that. And I'm telling you that from experience because when God healed me, it didn't stop there. I went back to another church, shared my testimony there, and I didn't know that the youth pastor was going to have me do this, but he asked me to stay up afterwards. We end up praying for people, and I'm watching as more people are getting healed, and this healing just keeps manifesting. And
Praise
so what
God.
I'm watching is that interest that I had stored up over the
Amen.
7 months
Amen.
Just keeps going.
Amen. Amen.
So wherever you're at today, whenever you're facing, I just want to encourage you. God hears you. He sees what's going on, and he cares. And when that trial ends, the interest that you stored up, there's going to be blessings for you and for those around you as well.
Amen. Amen.
Woo.
Come here, sweetie. Amen. That's powerful. That is powerful. You know, let me help you down here. The truth is, we all become 16-year-olds in God's presence. We all talk with God that same way, Sophia. We all do that. And I have to believe that this gracious daddy of ours looks at us and says, seriously, looks at us and says, aren't they adorable? They get cranky at us. What a powerful powerful testimony. When I was in Guatemala with these guys, I remember talking about Cindy, how Cindy spoke in an emergency room when Larry fell off and landed on his head a couple of years ago, and we almost lost Larry. In fact, I was in I was actually at his feet when the doctors were looking over Larry there in the emergency room, and we were very close to losing him. And the expressions and the words and the lips, the wording, you know, the secret whispering that was going on between doctors and nurses was not good. And I could tell them that they were preparing. Cindy was laying over Larry, who was laying there completely unconscious with a neck brace around him. And Cindy was just weeping before God. God, you can't take him. You can't take him. He is mine. You cannot take him. Please don't take him, God. And she prayed the life right back into Larry as these doctors were looking and looking at the nurses, and the nurses are they're shaking their head, no, this is not going to be good. The doctors are shaking their head, this isn't going to be good. I watched a woman of faith pray with and have a conversation with God and touch the heart of God and prayed the life right back into this man. And I believe that with all of my heart. I watched it take place. Believe me, I've been on the other end of that when the doctors and the nurses are shaking their head. When my brother was killed in 1987, I was standing outside the room watching down the hall. I was watching the nurse in the room look down the hall, and my family's standing in here in the room, and I'm watching the nurse look at the doctor, and I could see when the doctor shook his head no, he was coming to give that news, the nurse just went. See, that's the kind of thing you see in an emergency room when no one else is looking around. And those are the expressions that I saw with Larry. So in that church service down at Pastor Victor's church, I said to, if you ladies would like this to take place, if you have been praying for your husband, if your husband is either not in your home or there's something going on with your husband, you need God to pour faith into you. I'm going to have a faith woman pray for you. Well, at the end of this service, we're going to have a faith young lady pray for you at the front of this. If you need healing, I want you to get ready. Did you hear what I said? You see, those who have been through it and have done it before and have lived the journey of contending for the faith know how to pray for someone who's doing it, been there, is there, and contending for the faith. And so Sophia and her family are going to lay hands on you at the front of this auditorium, and we're going to have a time where they're going to play some music here in just a little while, and while people are praying, if you need healing, you're going to come up and the Chajones are going to lay hands on you. Missionaries, our missionaries and our family from Guatemala, would you give Sophia another great hand? Get ready. Get ready, because I believe that God is bringing healing in the house. I believe that God is bringing healing in the house. God's presence is real. I'm asking you, can you feel God's presence? Can you feel God's presence? This is serious, guys. I said, Gina and I both agree, this is a very important service for the future of the kingdom here at St. Charles River Church. This is a very important day. Because I believe that God is calling us back. The bulletin just doesn't say it because it's a sermon title. I believe God's calling us back to be His people. God is looking for a remnant, and He's looking for a remnant that is His. Because there's enough remnants that belong to other people and other value systems and other things. Went by, Gene and I went to dinner the other night drove by Plaza Frontenac, and there were three protesters outside. Hey, I believe in the right of anyone that wants to protest peacefully. That's fantastic. But I'm going to tell you something. There are causes that are distractions today in the world. And people are looking for a place to fit and a place to belong. They're looking for the cheers of the world where everybody knows your name. As we went by, honest, before God, we're pulled up next to him at the stoplight, and I'm trying to read the sign. They had five things they were protesting for, and I'm trying to read. They're out in front of Plaza Frontenac in the dark, and we can't. I said, "What are their signs?" Gina's closer than me, and she's going. She read one of them, and she said, "Well, that's what the top says," but the other four we couldn't make out. And the problem, you know, that's what the church has been doing for years. We get out there and we're present, you know, and nobody knows what we stand for. They think we stand for the thou shalt nots. It's all about what you can't do. It's a rules organization. And lately, it's been known as the hate organization. And by the way, we've given good reason for those to accuse as a whole. I'm just being real with you guys. Hey, listen, if you don't, we're not a traditional church here. If you need us to feel good when we leave, you got the wrong place. What we need is to be challenged, to learn who God is. It's not about who we are. It's not be all you can be. It's be the best Jesus you can be and I can be. So these ladies were standing there, and people are slowing down. What in the world do the signs say? People are slowing down at the light, and look, and I will say this, they did get everybody's attention because they were dressed in dark clothes, had signs, and it kind of freaked you out to pull up to the light and see them standing there. We couldn't read what they said. The top one you could, and I won't tell you what it was. Doesn't matter. They believed in it. So when we drove back by at the end of the restaurant, here they are out there, man. Now they cross the street because they're in the Schnucks parking lot across the street because that's where they parked and walked over to do their protest. And they're high-fiving, all three of them, high-fiving each other and hugging each other. Man, we did a lot. We did it. That's what the church does. We get it just because we think we're you know what we're doing? Years ago, when you were a child, didn't you ever get into a pretend car? Did you ever get a pretend car? Or you went to the city park and you got in the pretend car? Or you went to the mall, you put the quarter in, right? And it does that thing. And so this is us as kids. We get in the little pretend car and it's got a little stick shift and we do. And we verbally we go, and we make all kinds of noise and we got nowhere. We made all kinds of noise, but we didn't go anywhere. That's what the church has been doing for a long time. We make a lot of church. We go nowhere. We accomplish nothing. But we high-five each other. Whew. We just feel so good. We high-five each other. Where's God been in the whole thing? Because we're trying to do it by our own power and all the noise we can make instead of being God's people and letting Him fill us with His Spirit. And all of a sudden, we don't have to make the noise. All of a sudden, you know, God cranks us up. God cranks us up. And we don't have to make a lot of noise. We just have to do a lot of loving. All of a sudden, what Jesus said, oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to teach what Jesus said. He said, by this all men will know that you're my disciples, by the way you love one another. Didn't say, oh, because you can speak in tongues on every Thursday and on Friday interpret. He said nothing about that. He said nothing about, because you can give a prophetic word. He said nothing about that. He wasn't even impressed with the healing services. He's the healer. He's the one that gave the sight back to the blind. He's not impressed with the fact that you have the gift of healing. He gave it to you. He's not impressed with the tongues. He gave it to you. By the way, He is the Word. He is the Word. So He's not impressed with our gifts. He's the giver of the gifts. But Jesus said, if you want to know the true test of what I am about, I'll say it. This is how all men that you will know that you're my disciples, by the way you love one another. It's how you treat people. It's how you respect people. You know what I really wanted to do, but Gina would have just absolutely died. I wanted to get out of the car and go over and high-five the protesters. I wanted to bring them hot chocolate and coffee. You guys have a value system. I love that. This is what Paul said. Remember, I taught this last week. Remember in Mars Hill? He said, I see that you're a people of great faith. You know what I'd love to say to them? You guys are awesome. I could use you on Sunday morning because you're a people of passion. You're actually willing to get out. Now, you're not necessarily accomplished anything right now, but you're willing to get out and do something. And somebody ought to do something, right? Well, Jesus did something 2,000 years ago. And the fact that we're willing to do nothing is amazing. Now, Barry hasn't read any scripture yet, so get ready. God's wanting to do a new thing. And we're trying to hang on to the old thing. Because, you know, we want to do it our way. And we're waiting for somebody to do it like we did in the good old days. We're so in love with the good old days. We say, you know, I've had hundreds. Pastor Harvey's had many more than that say to him this phrase. I want to go back to where I once was with Jesus. No, don't do that. Go forward with much better. Go forward with much better. It's much better. You'll never be as good as you used to be. Because I ain't as good as I once was. And I was good once as I ever was. You know, that's the whole country version of that. Turn in your Bibles to, don't put this up there, but I'm gonna tell you, 1 Chronicles says, let me just read it. Don't need to put it up real quick. Just simply this. This is what God says about becoming His people. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. My people. You want to see what God is, you want to be in on what God's doing in this wave? He just said how to get in. He said how to get in the ark. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways. It's not about those crazy people in the world. He never once mentioned sinners. Never once. Left it up to people who don't know truth. Never once. Threw the whole world's condition on the world. He never threw it on them. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, see, there's a problem in the house, is the problem. And one of the problems is, and we've seen it down through the ages, is we want to hold on to the old way. How many of you, back in the 70s, remember when they started doing those newfangled choruses? Oh, to the consternation of the deacons. I was a deacon once. I asked forgiveness, repented, and oh, my goodness. They want, what happened to the good old days? God's word says, I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing in you. I'm putting a new song in your heart. See, that makes an Assembly of God person mad. When God all of a sudden starts putting new songs. Well, we like the old songs. I won't say who it was. We had a family member one time come up to me at a funeral. I love funerals. Everybody's got a thought towards a pastor at a funeral. They got to express. So a family member of ours, Jean and I, were at a funeral. And this family member came up. He hadn't been in church in 40 years. And he came to the funeral and they were doing newfangled stuff. And he walked up to me. He said, hey, whatever happened to the good old songs? Whatever happened to the roll is called up yonder and, you know, and the old rugged cross? Whatever happened to that? And it just came out. I'm sorry. I said, well, it couldn't have been that good. It didn't keep you. You ain't been there for 40 years. It couldn't have been that good. And he and I have a great relationship. And he was laughing. He said, well, I never thought about that. That's probably true. He's been in the bar for 40 years. I'm just saying, it couldn't have been that good. And if you have to get mean about it, apparently it didn't impact you enough to stay like Christ, you know, down through the ages. So listen to this. This is in the book of Hebrews. This is about sacrifice. Once and for all. He did this once and for all for the transformation of all. And Paul writes, he says, first he said, sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. Then he said, here I am, Jesus speaking, I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the blood, or the body rather, of Jesus Christ once and for all. He sets aside the first to bring the second. There are times we are holding on to, now he's specifically speaking to the old law, which, by the way, was not abolished. It was fulfilled by Christ. Everybody understand that? Christ didn't do away with the law. He fulfilled the law because we couldn't fulfill it. He became, that's what Paul's writing here, he became the blood sacrifice once and for all because it had to be fulfilled. That was the law. It had to be fulfilled, not set aside. And so he fulfilled it, and the blood sacrifice of Christ for the remission of my sin met the law's requirement. Once and for all. But there's a beautiful, beautiful illustration, I believe, when he says he sets aside the first to bring in the second. Do you know there's a season in all of our lives in following God, the law was needed. It was needed. It absolutely was needed. Or God wasted his time giving it. God doesn't waste his time. First of all, God's not limited to time. He's just not limited to that. But God doesn't waste our time either. And so he says, I will set aside the first to usher in the second. There's a season in all of our lives where we have to look back and say, that was good. But he's setting aside the first. Oh, but that when I got saved by an old-fashioned Baptist preacher, and he is good. He could preach heaven down and hell came alive. I'd rather heaven come alive. How about that? How about Jesus coming alive? You know, and I've heard this one a lot. You know, I was raised in a Pentecostal church, and boy, we could bring the people to pray in the Spirit. Man, we knew that the Spirit of God moved. We gave prophetic word. We had, and they gave all those things. I said, well, how many got saved? Oh, no, nobody got saved. And I'm like, that's a powerful move of God. Nobody came to faith. Did anybody bring anybody that needed to come to faith? Ooh, crickets. I'm just saying, the house needs to be full. He's setting aside the first so he can bring alive in you and I the second. This new thing that he's doing in you and I, that whatever that second is in you needs to come alive today. Yeah, I'm coming back here. Needs to come alive today. Because some of y'all sit in the back, you know, because I'm up there. I'll come back here. I'll make that the first row. Don't worry. I used to sit on the back row too. But I'm just telling you that it, whatever the first thing is that you embrace so greatly, it ain't that good. It got you to faith. It brought you in the journey to recognize, wow, that's good. But can I tell you, I was in church all my life, and I'm not joking when I say this. And one Sunday, I'll never forget, there was a man named Gary Noah sitting in front of me and Pat Noah. And they were sitting in front of me. We had a wonderful godly man was our pastor. Wonderful godly man. I loved him. I would just simply say this. He's one of the greatest, if you have to rate a guy, he was one of the greatest I've ever heard. He could rally you. Then I heard a guy named Rex on a Sunday morning. Because Rex, this was his Sunday. You know, we were looking for a new pastor, and Rex came from Altoona, Pennsylvania. He's an Eastern dude. They're different, but anyway. I found out he became one of my best friends. But I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, my God. Wow. Ramona's shaking her head. You remember? So I Rex goes off the platform. We're all sitting there looking at each other. Not, you know, and we back in those days, we still voted. We don't vote here. If you've got leaders that can make a decision, then throw us out. You don't need to vote. I don't need to vote. It's what God wants. That's what we're about, the heart of God. So so I hear Gary Noah, this senior brother, look at his wife who never looked more than 16. Tell Pat I said that when you get a chance, will you? Beautiful lady, godly couple. She says, well, what do you think, honey? And he looks at his wife. Gary was probably 60 at that time. He looks at her, he says, honey, I don't know about you, but I learned more in the last 2 services than I've learned in the last 25 years. About who God is in my life. You see, it's about an anointing. It's about becoming available to becoming his his kids again. It's about learning to be available to be the family of God. I challenged our leaders yesterday. I said, would you join me on the journey of a church planter's heart again? Because God's reigniting the church planter's heart in me. We need to go, we need to rethink who we, not just rethink, we need to have revelation of who we are. And who we're called to be. We're called to be God's people. Not just St. Charles River Church, a friendly little church on the other side of town. I don't care about that whole image thing. I honestly don't care. What I do care about is that God, when God shows up, we are His people and He is our God. And whatever that looks like, I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, liberal, or crazy. Hold the crazy to yourself if you don't mind. Because I'll call you on the crazy. I've seen Christians that were crazy. I've seen atheists that were crazy. I'm not too keen on much of either one about the behavior. But I'm just saying, I'm asking you, would you join us on the journey of the new thing? Let him set the first thing aside and bring in that second, that wave of revival in the spirit of who he wants to be in you. Not who you want him to be in you or who I want him to be in you, but would you join us this leadership on a journey? We began it yesterday in a great conversation in the foyer of asking God to reveal himself incredibly, to reveal himself through us, not just to us, but through us. And God, if you need to set aside the first part so that you can bring along and baptize me in a second part, God, I want to be available to whatever the second part is. And when that season has served its due, and there's a new season, and there's a third part coming in, God, I want to be available to the third part. Because when it's all said and done, the only thing that matters is if I and my family hear these words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's the only thing that matters. That's the only thing that will matter. It doesn't matter to me, or it won't matter on that day when you, if you work the liberal polls and you work the phones of the conservatives, it won't matter. Political parties will be set aside and a king will take his throne. That's what's going to, because he is our God. The God of Israel will rest on his throne. Because he is God. He is Yahweh. He is Yahweh. I am that I am. Before Abraham was, I am. That's the God I'm talking about. And that's the God that we are often casual about. We're so often caught up with how we worship as a corporate body. And I would ask you, how do you worship when you're alone? I would ask, do you worship God when you're alone? The Bible says, and I'll quote it, Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to him, which is your only reasonable form of worship. In other words, after all 11 chapters that I just wrote to you about God's grace and mercy, the only reasonable response to you is that you die. Is that you die to yourself. I am crucified with Christ. Wait a minute now. But I don't like those songs. I just don't like that music. I'm still alive. It's all about me. When it's I, you know, when it comes with attitude, it ain't Jesus. When it comes with stinking attitude, it ain't Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Honestly, from here on, this is where I'm at. I am crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live, but it's Jesus Christ who lives in me. Would you join me on the journey of being God's people again and being yielded to the move of God's Spirit no matter where he takes us? You're going to set aside all the idea of, well, don't ask me to ever listen. I don't know how to dance, but I'm just going to tell you something. I will someday know how to dance. It won't be pretty. If it's on this earth, it won't be pretty. But in heaven, it'll be the most beautiful dance. And I'm going to visit Gina at her little, you know, condo. Because I have reservations to see her on weekends. Because she's told me, you cannot, once I've put up with you here, you can get visitation, How many know I just left scripture? I'm being prophetically hopeful. Stand with me. Stand with me. You are our God. You are our King. You are our God. You are our King. I want the Chihones to come up here. Stand right here. You are our God. You are our King. Come on up right here. Pastor Harvey, I want you to come up next to the Chihones. I want you to get behind other people. If you need healing, I want you to come on up right now. If you need healing, I want you to come up right now. Right now. You need healing, I want you to come up right now. Just want you to, we're going to pray over you in the name of Jesus Christ. Stay with us if you would. Stay with us. It's not the end of the service. It'll be soon, but stay with us if you would, just for a minute. We just want to pray. Just want to pray. At the board, they're going to play some music, and we're just going to begin to pray with you guys. I want you to line up. I want you to just get in line if you would, and let the ladies go first. Yeah, go ahead and step in there, Deb. And I want you to just lay hands on them one at a time, as you would as a family. In the name of Jesus, stretch your hand out towards these that have come forward for healing. And with the faith that you have for the power of God to come upon them, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask you, Lord God, for healing. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we ask for complete healing, complete restoration in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Come on, just begin to call out on God for the complete healing of those that have stepped out in faith. They need healing in the name of Jesus Christ. They need healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we call you upon you, and we call all of heaven down in the name of Jesus, that you will set aside the illnesses that have perplexed, that have been perhaps bringing frustration for those. I ask in Jesus' name, set aside those illnesses in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, we follow you. Yes, we are true to you. Where we have sinned against you and not been faithful to you, forgive us. Because all have sinned, the Bible says, and fallen short of your glory. All have been so less than what you intended for us to be. But you are merciful. You are gracious. You are compassionate. Yeah, Nate, come on up here, buddy. Come on up here, buddy. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. We'll invite you to just stay in the presence of God for a couple minutes. Just stay in the presence of God. God is doing something at St. Charles River Church that He's never done before. There's an awakening. There's a spiritual revival in the hearts of those who have slept. There's an awakening for those who have never known, who have never really grasped the heart of God for them. They're wonderful people. Wonderful people. But they've been searching for truth. And there's an awakening that's taking place in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The presence of God. Stay in the presence of God. If you could stay and be a part of what God is doing here, this is something very special that God is doing. This is the day that I believe God will very well mark as the day that St. Charles River Church began its new journey of an awakening in the presence of God. Stay in His presence if you would. Stay in His presence. This is the day the Lord has made, and I'll rejoice and be glad in it. God is doing a new thing. He's awakening. He's awakening in the name of Jesus Christ. He's awakening in the name of Jesus Christ. Hearts are coming alive even in this room. If the Spirit of God is coming upon you, just enjoy His presence. If He's awakening you, enjoy His presence. Don't reject what God wants to speak into you. Don't reject. Don't turn away. Don't shut down what the Spirit is wanting to speak into you today. Let Him come alive in you. It's not for blessing of someone else. This is your blessing too. This is your blessing too. This is your revival too. This is your awakening too. This is your coming alive and letting Him set aside the first part so that He can bring in the second part. This is the Spirit of the living God. This is an awareness that only the Spirit can bring. In Jesus' name. Oh God, we're hanging on every word you say. We want to hang on every word you say. God, I'd rather hear rebuke from you than to hear silence from you. We're hanging on every word you say. That's what David said. I'd rather hear rebuke from you than hear silence, than hear nothing. Spirit of the living God. Spirit of the living God. Spirit of the living God. Bring an awareness to us. But if you don't have to leave, I want to encourage you. We'll conclude here in just a few minutes. I just want you to enjoy what God is doing. It's so unique. It's so special. There's an anointing in this room that is special. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm asking you. I'm pleading with you to let the Spirit of God be free in your life today. Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Run to Him with everything that is within you. Run to Jesus. He is here. Treat Him like a father you haven't seen in ages. Run to Him. Run to Jehovah God. Run to Him. When we've run so hard the other way, run to Him. He's calling your name. He's calling your name. Run to Him. Run to Him. Run to Him. In Jesus' name. I believe. Now give the Lord a huge hand.
Jesus.
I believe.
I believe in life eternal. I believe.
Stay right where you're at. Woo! Father, we worship you. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Come on, worship Him. He is worthy of all praise. He is worthy of all praise. Father, we worship you. We say yes, Lord, to your will and to your good pleasure. We say yes, Lord, to your will and to your good pleasure in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody say, amen. Have a seat for just a second while they're continuing to pray up here. Let me just share with you real quick. I know it's quarter after. I get that. If you've never been to this church before and you say, why does that guy get so that way? Whatever you want to describe it as. Fruitcake. I saw a movie, Fruitcake and Ice Cream, you know. And I love that. I love that. He's a fruitcake, you know. Crazy. Well, I'm crazy for Jesus. That's true. I am loco por mi Jesus. So, Jesus. So, but here's the reason. Because that's who God designed me to be. I'm serious. You may not be designed that way, and that's wonderful. You're wonderfully made. That's what the Bible teaches. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. You may not be one of those loud guys like me, but I'm going to tell you, I was a season ticket holder for Rams for first 15 years. And when Kurt Warner walked out on the field and the greatest show on turf took the field, I was in the stands with my daughters and my wife. And I want you to know, when I left the dome, I had no voice. And I'm not going to give Jesus less. Did you hear me? I'm not going to give Him less. When I find something I'm passionate about, and when I found God, Christ Jesus, who I am passionate about, I give Him my best, and I'm just that way. So forgive me if it's not what you like. I'm okay with that. I've had a lot of people not like me through the years. I have a gift of that. I did have one girl who said to me this week, Gene and I went away. We kind of do our once a quarter go away as a couple. We call it our weekend, no book weekend. We went away, and there was a little girl at a hotel stand, the lobby, the desk. And I walked up to the desk, and she looked at me. She says, "Wow, I love that 70s or 80s haircut you're sporting there." So I will tell you. There's always an opinion out there for some reason. Having said that, it ain't about me. It is about Jesus. And when I get passionate about something, I'm going to give it all I got. How about you? How about you? Join me on the journey of passion to whatever it is God's designed you to be. If you're a quiet person, be the most awesome, loud, quiet person you could ever be. And I'll love it.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.